God bless you all. Trust you're well. So, trust the sound's coming through properly on this. Oh, that's good. It's on. We're going to do a little study tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless. I don't know how much we'll get through. But, we're going to do a study on ownership and possession. Ownership and possession. And we're going to start with two scriptures, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, and then we'll go back to Leviticus chapter 25. So you can stand if you like. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, you know this scripture. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Amen. And then let's turn to Leviticus chapter 25. And we'll start at verse 23. It says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are all strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession shall ye regrant a redemption or buying back for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if a man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it unto the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return to his possession. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd be with us this evening. Pray that you'd watch over our thoughts and that you would bless the ministry of your word and guide our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. So before I start really on the Bible study or as part of this, I've got a few things that I want to get a hold of as examples so we can get our head around redemption and possession and ownership. So the first thing I want to ask for is, does somebody have a driving license that I can have up here? Yeah, Brother Jesse, you've got a driving license, so we'll take that. Does anyone else have some money? $1, $2, $100 bill? Anyone? Someone got some money that I can have? Thank you. You got some? Oh, here we go. Thank you. Anyone got a credit card? Yeah? Okay. We got a credit card over here. Oh, it's a debit card. That's even better because, if I take money out on this, then it's like it gets taken out on this, on your debit card. So, whose is this? This is the card. This is the card I got from Brother Peter Hoffman. Whose is this? Okay, so we got a divided opinion. Okay, some are saying it belongs to the bank. Some are saying it belongs to Peter. Okay, so there's a question mark about ownership, but we would say commonly this would belong to Peter, right? This is Peter's card. But technically it belongs to the bank. And if you want to find out how much is your card and how much is the bank's card, you know, I've been in positions where at the point of sale, if you get the right kind of response back from the bank, you say to the person, I'm very sorry, I have to keep the card. Okay? Anyone experience that? All right. They won't let you have the card back. Okay. So, see if I can pass myself. Well, a very good looking person on here. Same principle. Who does this belong to? The state. All right. But commonly speaking, who would we say it is? Jesse's. Okay. But who's got it? Who possesses it right now? Okay. And Sister Mary was kind enough to give me $20. Again, we'll ask the question, who does this belong to? Hold on. What is this? It's a note. Okay, who owns it? The government. Okay? They're just letting you use it as a medium of exchange. Okay? And we say it belongs to Sister Mary. Well, she gave it to me, so, you know, I'm in possession now. All right? And we have three items here. And each of them, well, this is the easiest one to figure out where it goes back to. It's got a picture and date of birth and height and weight and colors of eyes, and so it's easy to figure out where that goes back for the ownership. This one, a little harder, okay? It's got a name on it, but it doesn't have a picture on it, okay? It's a lot easier to use for fraud. I mean, technically, I give my kids my credit card and say, go up to Target and buy something. I suppose that's, in a way, they've got a permission from me, but in a way, that's not exactly the way you're meant to use things, these things anyway. So it's a little harder. And this one here, if you found that outside, you would have no idea who it belonged to unless someone came and said, oh, I'm looking for $20. And you say, well, is this yours? And they say, well, I've memorized the serial number, let me check. You know. So possession and ownership. All right? And I want to bring it to that level of understanding, because we're going to look at some things here in the Bible. Well, I suppose I should give these back now. Thank you very much. We're going to look at some things here in the Bible that are about possession and that... Ah, oh, he's coming up. It's fine. He's got legs too. That are about ownership. Because God said to the children of Israel, and we've just read it in Leviticus, he said, listen, the land doesn't belong to you. The land is mine. It's always going to be mine. Talking about the promised land. But I give it to you for a possession. And when God created the whole world, he gave it into the hands to the possession of his son, Adam. And when Adam fell, we're going to get legal here, legal Bible kind of wise, all right? The Bible says, whoever commits sin is the of sin. Okay? Now, again, when the Bible was translated in the King James Version, 1600s, you had the beginning of the parliamentary democracy in England. You just had a king who'd had his head cut off, and the restoration of the monarchy. And but a better, what's a better word? Whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. Okay, that word slave, that word servant, they're interchangeable if you go back and you look up. All right? And a slave doesn't have the ability, in many cases, to have possession. So you forfeit what you own when you become a slave. And that's what we're talking about. If a man, and we can look at redemption later in Leviticus, you can sell yourself into slavery. Sell yourself into bondage because you've got debts. Okay? And you forfeit your possessions in order to go into this position. So, when Adam sinned, he put himself under a new master. That new master was Satan, and his possessions fell into the hands of his new master. Okay? Very much like, for a few moments there, I had possession of a $20 bill. Okay? That it was mine to do with as I liked. Well, as long as I could run fast enough before all the Sister Mary's kids kind of piled on and the grandkids. You understand? What possession, they say, is 9/10 of the law. You can do with what you want. And so that's why we see creation in the condition that it's in. Because while the ownership has remained with God, the possession has fallen into the hands of someone that's outside the original possessor. Are you all following me there? Okay? Ownership and possession. Because the ownership of creation always belonged to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The people and they that dwell in therein. But who ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Adam sold himself as a slave to sin, no longer reigned in the world, but another ruler had taken his place. And we can see this very clearly in Romans chapter 5, that another ruler has taken the place on the earth. And then we can also see it by the evidence of our own eyes. And goodness comes into the world only as much as people are able to bring themselves back under the will of God and the control of God. Romans chapter 5, from verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. All right, death reigned. Satan has control. He has possession. He is the God of this world. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, there is a God of this world, and Satan became the God of this world. The world came into the hands of Satan. But neither the ownership or the legal possession was his in the first place. And it wasn't his even though it came into his hands. Everyone understand that? So, although we ruled over it, it wasn't his possession. God says you can rule over it for a time. You can occupy the land for a time. Because you purchased it, you deceived and you tricked your way into the ownership of it. But there's coming a time, because it's mine, when it will go back into the hands of the original possessor, of who I gave it to originally. Everyone with me? All right. So, Satan was only occupying the land that was sold until the time of the Jubilee. Because the ownership was always God's. And the document of possession went back into the right hand of God, which is where we started, the Lamb, who's worthy to take the book. Until the time when the Redeemer came, when it could be purchased back for the heirs of Adam, the Son of God, and then they could return to redeem the world, to possess it in the same way that the first Adam possessed it in the beginning. And we are in that process at the moment. We are in the process of redemption. So, in the eyes of God, Satan is not the owner. Who's the owner? God is. Okay? In the eyes of God, Satan is the possessor. Alright? But not the original possessor. Who's the original possessor? Pardon? God. No. The original possessor. Man, Adam's family. God originally. I don't do this. I do it sometimes. Okay, yes, God owns it, and he gave the possession, so he had to have the possession first. Yes, that's right. Okay, because he's the. But the possession, who should possess what God owns? Adam's race. Adam's family. And we'll just go one step further into that and we'll say Adam's seed. Okay? So, you're all following me. Who is Adam's seed? And that's where Jesse at the back confused me, because he pointed to himself like this, which made me think there was something wrong with my mic. Okay, because it's like he's at the soundboard. But you understand that we are the seed of Adam according to faith. Okay, quite literally we are the seed of Adam, but also the seed of Abraham. Now you can see this principle laid out in the life of Abraham, where God says to him, hey, I own the whole world. I own the whole world. And you know what? I'm giving you a portion of it. And this is the land I'm giving you. Go and walk up and down and see what I'm giving you. Okay? You and your family are going to possess this portion of the world. Okay? It doesn't matter that the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites are there. Doesn't matter that the iniquity of the land isn't yet full and you're going to have to live side by side with these people. It doesn't even matter if you go off down to Egypt, where I told you I don't want you going. It doesn't matter. I've given you this land. You are. Go and walk it. Go and see what it's like. And we can follow the history of how the children of Israel went from Egypt back into the land. Okay? God said, I gave that land to your fathers. Now I'm giving it to you, go and take it. And they had to go, and they had to go and retake the land. All right? There were other people in possession of that land. They didn't own it. God owned it. There were other people in possession, and God said, go and possess the land. And to possess the land, you're going to need to displace the people that are possessing it right now. Okay? And he said, even though I'm not going to redeem the whole, this is way before Jesus came. All right? This is based on the promise of faith. And he said, go and possess the land. And you will be a symbol, you will be a sign to all the people of the world that have a possession that you will possess that land. And so just as Israel possessed the land, so each one of us have a portion of land that we will possess on the new earth. And God is calling us, just as he called it Israel, go and possess the land. Okay? But someone else possesses it at the moment. So what's creation waiting for? Waiting for the time. Creation is in bondage. Well, let's read this. This is Romans 8. We'll go back there. Okay? Creation is in bondage until the people that are meant to possess the land possess the land. So Romans 8 from 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right. So we find we are the children of God. If we're the children of God, then we have been made free. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer possessed by sin. We have the Spirit. We have that down payment. But the possession is still in the hands of Satan, the possession of creation. All right, waiting for the time when Jesus claims what he paid for. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have an established, we've been told, this is your possession. And if children, then heirs. What's an heir? What's an heir? Someone who's set to inherit. What an inheritance. Very good. Yeah, a possession that's transferred from one generation to another generation. Okay? So. Yeah, okay. Well, you know what, folks? If the pastor's phone is going off, it's all right for the rest of you too. So. So, an inheritance is something that's passed on. Okay? Now, if it's passed on to you, just like the children of Israel, you've inherited this from your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I gave it, go and possess your inheritance. So, we are heirs of what? Of what God has given us to possess. What has God given us to possess? Because if you don't know what God has given you to possess, you can't possess it. You understand? There's the children of Israel. They're down in Egypt. They're getting whipped. They're making bricks. They're building cities. They're saying, we're the heirs of Abraham. What are we doing here? They didn't know anything else. They didn't know there's a land. Well, what do you know about it? Well, I don't know anything. We've been here for 400 years. I don't know anything about the land. How am I going to possess it? I don't know. Let's keep making bricks. All right? So, we are heirs and we have an inheritance that's passed on to us from the owner to us, but we need to know what it is in order to possess it. Okay? And not only that, it says that we suffer with him that we may be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature or of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, creation itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of the body. So God is working in a pattern here, okay? And he's saying, while the earth is corrupt, I'm going to give Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, walk up and down, possess it. And then your seed are going to inherit it. And so when the seed comes into the land, he says, okay, here's your land. Go possess it, but it's going to be a battle. I'm going to drive out the nations before you, little by little. Because if you're not present in the sufferings, you're not present in the glory. I could get rid of them all in one go, but that's not going to be very good for you. Okay? And so, and it's also you understand, that's the earth. And he says, then Israel will be the first fruits of the whole earth because eventually the whole earth will be possessed by the kingdom of God. But Israel first. All right. Now, let's think about us. Because God comes in and he plants a seed in our heart and he says, I'm going to redeem you. And the first thing I'm going to redeem in you is your soul. I'm going to buy that back. And you can possess your soul 100% enemy free. Guaranteed. Okay? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will never be lost. You will never have a doubting thought in your soul. Okay? And then what I'm going to do is we're going to redeem, buy back your mind. And so you're going to come from this place where you have complete victory in your soul to a place where it's like, now go and possess the land. What's the land? The land is now our bodies. Okay? And our bodies is made up of our mind, our spirit, and our bodies, which is our bodies. You understand what I mean? It's this material part of us. And he says, all right, I want you, that's where the battle is, I want you to possess your mind, and I want you to possess your body. Okay, I own you. I paid the price for you. But I'm giving you to yourself to possess for me. This is your inheritance. I own you and you're perfect in my sight. That's what I own. Not a sinful Don, not a corrupt Peter, not an aging, balding Brother David. I say that because, up here, I've got my own issues. All right? It's not that. That God is possessing. He says, I have an image of you that is perfect, that is completely sin-free, that is made like the image of Jesus, my son, and I have this for you to walk in. Now go possess it. All right? So we're subject to corruption so we can be made manifest as overcomers. Just as the children of Israel, they were given the land, but they had to fight for it so they could be manifest as overcomers. All right? And the closer they were to God, the more they overcame. And the further away they were from God, the less they overcame. And this is true for us as well. Okay? Because we are meant to be, where there's no struggle, there's no victory. All right? But listen. What stopped the children of Israel possessing the land? Okay? The first thing that stopped them was fear. They saw the giants. They heard the bad report. We're afraid to go up and possess the land. We have seen the promise, but we're afraid to go up and possess the land. Okay? What stops us from possessing the land? The same thing. Fear. It's not the only thing. We're going to look at fear for a while. You remember the children of Israel went to Jericho and they stopped in Jericho. And this was, they'd wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And the testimony of Rahab was, we've heard about you, that God's with you. And that he parted the Red Sea and he's also parted Jordan for you. And we're all afraid. Okay? That was a testimony. All right? Forty years before, they'd seen the mountain, they'd had the same experiences, people had heard those stories, but they were afraid to go up. Now, what am I trying to say here? All right. How many people have ever had a toothache? All right. How many people have ever had a toothache and have overcome it by faith? And just pray that toothache out of your body. Just believe that toothache to be gone. No one. It's interesting. Okay. Look up faith for a toothache in the message. Okay. But you understand. Now, why don't we do that? Is it part of our possession? All right. Part of our possession. Is it part of what Jesus died for? Is that perfect, painless tooth God's, you know, is that what God owns? You got to say amen to that, because brothers and sisters, otherwise you're saying, when we get on the other side, we're going to have the occasional toothache. Okay? I don't believe that's going to happen. Because that's what not what God sees in us. All right? So why don't we? Is it because we fear to claim that promise because we think we'll fall short? Because we think we're less powerful than the toothache? Okay? Now, this isn't the case in every situation. Not having glasses has been amazing for me, but I had LASIK surgery, okay? But before I had LASIK surgery, you have glasses and you're like, man, okay? If I had real faith, I would just take my glasses and I'd throw them on the floor. I'd never wear glasses again, okay? Smith Wigglesworth wore glasses, though, and he was a faith healer. And he said there was something that God showed him that meant that was why he wore glasses. You see, there's a whole bunch of different things to consider. Is it God's will? Is it not God's will? What if I'm doing something that's not God's will? What if I claim something and it doesn't happen? What if I'm acting without, you know, outside of God's purpose? Is that a fear that's holding us back from coming into possession of something that God has for us? Okay? In the physical realm. I don't have an answer to that question. I have that question. But I know ownership and possession, I know possession is there for us, but we haven't moved into it yet. And I'm asking the question, why haven't we moved into it yet? All right? We're meant to have a relationship with God that's meant to be bringing us back into the book of Acts. And we see the first fruits of it here and there in the church. Miracles. Okay, signs. But are we falling short of the possession that we have for some reason? Disobedience will keep us from possessing the land, will keep us from obtaining the victory. Because you can't walk in faith knowing you're disobedient somewhere. And I want to tell you why that is today. And I want to challenge us to say, what are we possessing? What are we owning? All right? So, here's the next question. Who owns sin? Satan. Okay. He is the father of it all. All right. First First John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we have a possession. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So, who owns sin? Satan. Who possesses sin? Man. So good. Okay, because we exchanged a perfect possession for a sinful possession. So God owns perfection. And he's trying to bring us into possession of what he bought for us. Satan owns sin. Okay? Can I have that 20 again, if you... All right. Now this is a wrong thing to do, okay? But I'm going to give it to someone else. Here, do you want this? Okay. You know who it belongs to? Okay, but you could take it and spend it. You want to take it and spend it? No, but that would be wrong, wouldn't it? But think of all that. What do you like? I don't know. Think of all the sweets you could buy, the ice cream that you could buy. You like ice cream? Think of all the ice cream you could buy with that. Do you want to keep it? Don't tell me lies. Okay, who doesn't want to keep $20? Are you sure you don't want to keep it? Okay, go give it back to its owner. Not saying that you're the devil or anything, but go give it to its owner. Okay, are you understanding what I'm trying to bring out? Okay, the devil owns sin, but he's trying to give it to you to possess. The devil owns doubt. Okay, but he doesn't want to possess doubt. He wants to share doubt, and he wants you to possess the doubt. Okay? The devil owns lust. He wants you to possess the lust. Because if you're possessing the lust, you can't possess the possession that God's going to give you. You understand what I'm saying? All right? So, what are the sins that we're possessing, that we're holding on to, that we haven't given out back to the original owner, so we can possess our inheritance from God? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know if you want to possess the promises of God, you can't possess sin at the same time. That's the story of Achan, taking the wedge of gold and the garments and hiding them in his tent and leading to defeat for the children of Israel. Okay? So it's time to search our hearts. Because if you want to possess the land, you need to do these two things. Well, claim the land by faith, but also separate yourself from other possessions that don't allow you to possess what God has for you. Okay? And so it's not just necessarily fear that keeps us out of the land. And we talked about this recently. Children of Israel. Kadesh Barnea. Joshua and Caleb. They say, go up. We can possess the land. Okay? They say, no, it's too scary. And so Moses says, God's done with you. Yeah? God's done with you. You're going to wander in the wilderness. Your bones are going to rot. The children that you said you were scared of, they'll possess the land. What happened next? What happened next was the next morning they went up in full boldness and insurance and they were like, oh, we're going to... They went up to fight. Okay? But they were in disobedience even though they had boldness and they'd overcome their fear and they were, you know, more afraid of dying in the wilderness than they were of dying. So they went up and Moses said, hey, God's not with you. We're just going to stay here in the camp and we're going to see what happens to you guys. Okay? So you can overcome fear but still have sin and you won't have the victory. You won't be able to possess the land. So, but how easy? How easy is it to pass from the possession of sin into the possession of God's promises? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Okay? You possess sin. If you say, oh, I don't possess sin, you're deceiving yourself. All right? You just got to keep on giving that sin back to the devil. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So it's that easy to switch possessions. Okay? It's as easy as picking up one thing, putting it down, picking up another thing. That's how easy God has made it from a genuine heart. So that's the message today. Ownership and possession. God owns all his promises and he wants you to have possession of what he owns. Even if the devil has possession of them right now. The devil has possession of your body. 100% for sure. If he didn't, you wouldn't be growing older. Okay? But that doesn't matter. God says, I will give you possession of this. And we have down payment of that possession in things like healing. Amen. Okay? And it doesn't matter if we get older and if we die and if we get sick. It's no problem because he will raise us up again in a glorious, perfect body. But in his kindness, he says, I'll let you have a taste of that. It's not my will that you suffer. I wish you to be in good health. Okay? We know occasionally there's the Job experience, and occasionally, well, like I said before, there was a preacher, Brother John Noble, wonderful brother, praying, and he had a stroke, paralyzed, right-hand side, couldn't get up. Right when he's praying, it's like, Lord, am I lacking in faith? What did I do? Did I do anything wrong? They had to send the ambulance to get him. They had to carry him out downstairs to hospital. He's lying in hospital. Starts witnessing to a nurse. And a new church got started in another town by him because of that experience. You don't know what God's doing. All right? So it's not saying if you're sick, oh man, you're a sinner like no other and you have no faith. God's put these things in our path for a reason. So don't think I'm saying that, but I'm also saying some of these things that God has put in our path is for us to overcome by the word of faith. And he's going to train you, And we'll start off with a toothache, and then we'll move to, you know, some of us are advanced pupils, like Sister Patricia, you know. There's a cancer, I don't believe you. What's that? That's training for her. Should be training for us. All right? Where's our faith? What are you possessing? Possession of sin can stop you coming into possession of the promises. But you're not the owner of that sin. It's not with you permanently. Give it back to its original owner. Okay? Manifest the sons of God by overcoming. Overcoming what? The sin. Give it back to the devil and claim what's yours. All right? God owns all the good things that you need. And he says, it's time for you to come into possession of this or of that. I'm not going to give you everything all at once, because that's not good for your character. But there's something that he's working on in you right now. Okay? If there isn't, then you're dead. If God isn't working on you in something, then you're dead. You are some kind of dead Christian. But if he's working on you in something, it's because he wants you to let go of ownership of one thing and pick up ownership, sorry, let go of possession of one thing and pick up possession of what he's given you rather than what the devil's giving you. So now's the time to search our lives and say, Lord, what am I holding on to that doesn't belong to you, that's standing in the way of what you want me to hold on to that does belong to you? Okay? And that's what I got for this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these simple things. We ask you, Lord, to show us how to come into possession of what you died for. We ask you to let us recognize what we have in our lives that you're working on, what we need to let go of, what we need to pick up, that we can fight against sin and give it back to the devil, and that we can fight for ownership or for possession of what you own and become true people of faith. If I've said anything that's been wrong or come across the wrong way, let it come to your light. But the words that you've spoken, may they come into our hearts and just fulfill the goal that you had for them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. Okay, hold on a second. Give us a key that everyone can play rather than... I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Now the devil, he don't like it talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Okay, well, Praise God. God is good. We are looking forward to seeing what he's going to do in each and every one of us. And listen, when he starts to do something in you, make sure you're telling somebody. Okay? Make sure you're telling somebody. All right. When you make a bonfire, yeah, at the end of the night, and the coals are burning brightly, it's got down to that stage where it's just glowing red hot. Okay? There's a couple of ways you have of putting it out. Okay, if you're lazy, you just take a jug of water. It's kind of fun. But the other thing you do, yeah, is you can kick it apart. Just kick those little heated parts apart. Okay? And it'll go out in the cold. Okay? You never seen that? Huh. Can I get an amen from someone? Okay, yeah. All right. I'll show you sometime. Okay. I've survived this long. Thanks to the Lord. He protects me. Okay. But the thing is, you can take that fire, all right, and 20 minutes later, okay, you can remake that fire. You can pull all those sticks back together. You can find all those heated parts and you start blowing on it. You can restart that fire. Okay. And that's us. And the devil's going to try and keep us apart. Okay? But if we can stay close together, if we can share the excitement of what God is doing, if you overcome a toothache by faith, you should be sharing it. Okay? Because you're telling people, this is what God is doing for me, he can do the same for you. Okay? Whatever happens, encourage one another. Be close to each other. Talk about him. Let him become active in your life. Let's light the fires. Okay? Let's get close together and let the Holy Spirit blow on us. Light something. But if we're not close together, he can blow and nothing will catch fire. You want to catch fire for God? You want to go on talking about this good old way? Yeah, we're moving into something. All right? But we can't make it alone. That's why God brought us together. Okay? I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. You want to close in a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for another opportunity to come, Lord, and to hear from you, Lord. Just want to pray that going forward, Lord, that we would give back to the devil what he's trying to give to us, Lord, and that we would receive from you what you have, Lord. Just want to pray that you'd keep everyone safe tonight on their way home, Lord, in the storm, Lord. And just, help us to continue to just live for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, sure. Sister Mary. Yeah, she's going to say something to Yoel. Okay, yeah, and you can say it too. Go on. Let everybody know, because this is voice of someone who's experienced something.
You need a test to have a testimony.
Okay. So, and this, you know, brothers and sisters, we're one body. Okay, I'm probably the biggest, loudest person in here that I know of anyway, unless some of you are, I don't know, maybe Philip's got a big loud person in him he's keeping hidden, all right? I don't think so, but listen, Philip has as much to give to the body of Christ as I do, or Brother Don does, any of you, Sister Mary, doesn't matter. Okay? Eliana, what has God given you to give to other people? What's the fire that God's put in you that you're going to share with somebody? Okay? All right, this is about all of us, or it's not about any of us. Okay, that's why God brought us all together here. It's like, you know, make pancakes for the kids, and if you got to put them, all the ingredients in and mix it up and then put it under the heat, and you know, then you have a pancake. Unless you forget to put in something, and then you just have a kind of a flop cake. No, God's making pancakes. We all have something to do in this. Anyway, I'll stop now. Look for that test. Share. Light your fire. Share it with someone else. Amen. God bless you all.